City Talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Over the course of the next half hour, we're talking about the British Transplant Games. They're taking place in Liverpool. They're just round the corner. The dates, the 28th to the 31st of July. And absolutely delighted to welcome Andy Knox, who's one of the organisers. Morning to you, Andy.
Good morning.
And also Holly Shaw, who's one of the competitors. Hello,
good
Holly.
Morning.
Great to see you both in here. Let's just first talk about when was Liverpool awarded the British Transplant Games, first of all, Andy?
We have a three-year plan at Transplant Sport, looking at organising the annual, what are now called the Westfield Health British Transplant Games. Mm. We've got a great sponsor there. And we have a selection process where bids are considered, because simply through the games coming to Liverpool, it has an economic impact of around £3 million. So it's great for the city.
A big deal, then.
It is a big deal, yeah. In fact, the numbers that we have coming to Liverpool this year, the largest ever, we've got over 900 transplantees coming to compete in several, 26 different sports, all having had life-saving organ transplants.
Do they take place every year, this competition, or is it biannual? Or
It's annual.
It's annual. So where was it last year?
Last year was Gateshead.
Right, okay.
And we're off to Lanarkshire, around the Glasgow area next year.
You get quite a lot of cities bidding for this?
We do, yes.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's social awareness, and we have a health organisation involved, and there are pockets around the country where there are issues with lack of organ donors. So wherever we travel, we promote the organ donor register, and it helps boost the figures. At the moment, we've got an aim to get 10,000 new local signatures on the organ donor register. And most importantly, to get families to discuss their wishes with the families.
Okay, we'll talk about some of the different areas of sport which are going to be focused on within the Transplant Games over the next half hour. We'll also talk about some of the competitors. But it's pretty much got a feeling of an Olympics, hasn't it, Holly? And you had the honour of lighting the flame. tell us how that came about.
Back in November, I attended the launch of the Games. It was a great honour to be asked to light the flame. It's just a fantastic event. It's very humbling to take part in. I've had a kidney transplant previously. Mm. I'm now currently waiting for another transplant, and it's just a great honour to take part in, and honour the donors that have given us this gift of life, and show them how much we appreciate it.
Okay, how were you chosen to light the flame, and where did that take place?
Just on the day, just out of the blue, they asked me to.
Where was it?
It was at the Echo Arena.
Right.
Yeah, out of the blue, they just asked me to light the flame, and it was a great privilege.
Quite an honour.
Yes, very privileged.
So from that point, you knew you had to be involved in it.
Yeah, not just the social events.
You
I
couldn't
had to
just light it and walk away from the event.
No.
And the events you're going to take part in, bowling.
Yeah, I'm not a very athletic person, and obviously being back on dialysis at the minute, I'm not in the best health, so I'm sort of taking the easier options and doing 10-pin bowling and the ball throw as well.
Okay, I mentioned the dates there, 28th to the 31st of July. What sort of different venues is this taking place in around the city?
It's mostly based around Wavertree Sports Park. We've got the Liverpool Tennis Centre, the Aquatics Centre, and the track there. So that's the hub, basically. And alongside the Echo and the surrounding area. And more importantly for us, we have a really good gala dinner on Sunday evening.
It's all about the social events. It's all about the social events.
But actually, that's a really important part of the whole thing, though, isn't it?
It is. Well, myself, I've had three living-related kidney transplants, and like Holly's experience, and for the second time now, your diet and your fluid intake can be really quite restrictive. So just to be able to have a nice meal after your transplant, it might not sound that great, but just to be able to have nice food again, to take a glass of water guilt-free, in our circumstances, was an absolute pleasure and a joy. So, yeah, it's the games are as competitive or non-competitive and sociable as you want them to be. And personally, I found the games to be quite a good place for educating myself and gaining confidence with issues that I might have that I might not want to discuss with my family or even my consultant. You know, it could be that, and I do make friendships, and we all make lots of big friends, and we all do have that really big feeling of community and almost family between us all. And it's, we become our own social workers as well. You know, it's just, it's a fantastic experience, and I'd just encourage anybody, local people and surrounding areas, to support the games.
So you can come down and watch it. You can go to the sports centre.
Yeah, that's right.
Of the events, you can get involved and support the guys. Right, we'll talk a little bit more about these guys' history and some more of the other of the competitors very shortly indeed. The time is 9:30. Let's get your very latest news and sports headlines. Well, we were going to. I don't think we've got Roisin yet. We're going to do your latest sports headlines with Matty in just a moment or two. I tell you what, we'll just put that on the back burner for a second because he's not quite ready. Let's just continue instead with something else. So just in terms of the number of competitors and how far they come from all over the country for this?
They do, and beyond. We have representatives from Australia. And I'm certain there's a few coming from the United States.
Oh, so expats? Is that what you mean?
No, this is other countries.
So you don't have to be British to enter this?
I think you get a pass.
Ah, right. So you've widened it. It's literally, if you want to be involved anywhere in the world, you can come to Liverpool.
Most definitely.
Right. So it's a world transplant game.
Well, funny you should mention the world transplant games. I've been to several world transplant games there every 2 years.
Right.
And this time last year, we were just back from Mar del Plata, Argentina, where the British team topped the medal tally again. After the Olympic and Paralympics, we are the third largest British squad. Mm. So that kind of puts it into perspective how big this actually is. And to be fair, not a lot of people have heard about the transplant games or our charity Transplant Sport. So through the world games, we meet these other countries and share their experiences of their organisation and their national games. And ours seems to be the one that's up at the top of the pile. So people are very keen to come along. But some of us are going to be lucky enough to go to Malaga next summer for the World Games. And they've just announced that between the choice of Houston, Texas or Gateshead for 2019, Gateshead are hosting the World Games
in
3 years' time.
So it's coming to these shores.
Correct.
Superb. And as you mentioned then, so Britain was top of the medal tally last year.
Yeah. And
do you know how many golds? And
oh, blimey. I think it was over 70 golds.
Right.
We've got a huge team. We're always very well
represented. Which sort of indicates that this British transplant game should have a lot of good competitors in
it
then. Yeah.
Well, as we say, we've got over 900 competitors. And after volunteers and registered supporters, there's over 2,500 people going to be falling into Liverpool this coming weekend.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool. This is Radio City Talk.
This is Radio City Talk. This is The Kickoff. I'm Steve Hothersall. We're looking at the British Transplant Games. Delighted to have a couple of people involved in it. Andy Knox, one of the organisers, and Holly Shaw. Holly's story, absolutely fascinating. So let's start with the two of you and find out how you've been involved with the British Transplant Games. Holly, yourself, just tell us, we have to go back to 2005 for the start of your story, really. When did you first really know you had an illness, a problem that needed dealing with?
Basically, I crash landed, so they call it. I just, out of the blue, lost a lot of weight, went to the doctors, and it was actually over Christmas, so it was a locum doctor, not my usual doctor.
Just 17 years old, so a young girl.
17 years old, had no previous health issues before. The doctor took my blood pressure and noticed it was sky high, and that was the indication that I needed to be seen at the hospital. Mm. And it was the same day I was told that I had kidney failure, I was in complete kidney failure, and I would need to start dialysis straight away.
Out of the blue?
Out of the blue.
Completely. No sort of family history of this?
No family history. I'm the only one, lucky enough. out of the blue, and a complete shock to me and my family as well, yeah.
How did you deal with that at the time? Is it quite hard to get your head around that?
You deal with it, how you get dealt, what you're given, and you just put a brave face on and get on with it. It's nothing you can do about it, so you might as well just crack on and deal with it as best you can.
So the doctors, the specialists, do they sort of lay the options out in front of you straight away? Do they say you need a transplant? Is dialysis the first thing they talk about? Or when do they actually say to you, like, this is what you need to lead a full life from here on in?
Yes, I was originally taken to Warrington Hospital and then was transferred over to the Royal. to the great team at the Royal. And I was told there's various types of dialysis. So that was my first choice. I had to choose which type of dialysis that I wanted to undertake. And I was told that I would need this until a transplant became available. So a machine, basically, would be keeping me alive until a transplant was available. I chose something called hemodialysis. So my blood gets cleaned by a machine. It does the job of the kidneys. I did that 3 times a week. For 3 years while I waited for a transplant.
And perhaps interestingly, before this, you probably never considered this idea of people on sort of transplant waiting lists and the importance of signing up to be a donor, and then all of a sudden you're put in a position where it means everything.
Absolutely. The only time I'd seen a dialysis machine was on a soap. on television. I'd actually signed up to the organ donor register myself not long before I was diagnosed with kidney failure on my driving license, my provisional license. But no, I'd never even thought that I'd be in the position to need a transplant myself.
Right, so in 2007, you got a match. That's right.
Yeah, it was actually 2008, and I received a phone call to say that a match had been found, and the transplant went ahead.
So it happened, and everything was fine for a certain period of time. Are you led to believe at that time that this is something that is going to be okay for your entire life, or do doctors say to you there is another chance that you might need another transplant here?
Being so young, it was obvious that I would need another transplant in the future. A lot of people think kidney transplant, great, fantastic, it's a cure, you're cured and they last forever. That's not the case. It's the best form of treatment for kidney failure, a transplant, and it is an amazing, amazing gift. My life was completely transformed the day that I had my transplant, and that transplant lasted me for 8 years. I managed to move out of my family home. I got a full-time job. I went to university. So lots of things I managed to do in those 8 years, and it was a fantastic gift that I received.
So last year, 2015, felt unwell again, and obviously you've hit that point that you were talking about then, needing once again to find another transplant.
Yeah, it still came as a bit of a shock. Sort of, there was some denial there that I did need another transplant. And yeah, it was a shock to have to go through it a second time. But I felt I was a lot older and a lot stronger in myself. And I think I'm currently waiting for another transplant now. I'm doing dialysis. I'm actually training to do it at home. So the Royal have been fantastic in supporting me to do that. And I'm just waiting for that phone call again.
What are the odds of that match? You know, how long are you expected to know? How long you should wait? Or is it how long's a piece of string?
How long is a piece of string?
Is that what it is?
You could go on the list. You get activated on the list and you could get a phone call the next day. You could wait 3 years. You could wait 10 years. It's just... How long is
it? Is it quite tough living in that anticipation? Is that a daily thing? Do you wake up thinking about it, or is it just part of... Is it stored there part of the compartment of life?
Yeah, I try and put it to the back of my head and not think about it. I've actually had you can get false calls. So you can get called for a transplant and it not actually go ahead for various reasons.
Well, I mean, that is... I've used the word tough a few times, but that is tough, isn't it? That's sort of building your hopes up to a level and then...
It's just...
you're so laid back, aren't you?
Goodness me. You can't do anything about it. There's no point worrying about it when you can't do anything about it.
Okay. You're very, very down to earth about it all. We'll get on to Andy in just a moment. So you're going to be competing in the bowling and the ball throw. What encouraged you to get involved in the transplant games here in Liverpool?
I actually went to previous transplant games as a supporter rather than a competitor, and the atmosphere is absolutely amazing. I just knew it was something that I wanted to get involved in. We've got a great team at the Royal Liverpool Hospital, and it's just something that I wanted to get involved in. I'm not a very athletic person. It's more I go for the social side of things, make new friends, see old friends. Hence why I'm not really doing anything too athletic.
It's not all about fitness.
Oh, we're definitely not.
You're good at throwing balls, though.
I wouldn't even say that.
You'll have a go at
it. Yeah.
Oh, good luck. You weren't one of the gold medal winners in South America then?
No, definitely not.
Right, let's shift to the other side of the room. We've talked with Andy. Andy's 43 years old. Let's start with your background as well. 43, is that right?
44. Nearly 45.
Me and you, buddies, 44. Yeah. Go on, let's hear your story, Andy. When did it first start for you?
Oh, 1997. bizarrely, me and two friends won the lottery. We got 5 and the bonus ball. Had a nice
time. What? What did you win for that?
It was about £37,000 each. Wow. 2 weeks later, I was at the Royal being told that unless I had dialysis or a transplant, I had 6 months. So that was quite a shock.
Well, talk about a roller coaster there. You must feel like you're a very sort of special person when you win a bit of money like that on the lottery. And then it means nothing. It sort of pales into insignificance a few weeks later.
It does, and it vanished a few weeks later.
What was it? Why were you feeling unwell?
I had gout from being 21, and I was prescribed with anti-inflammatories. And by all accounts, there was an underlying, very small issue with the kidneys much earlier when I was younger. And the combination of the kidneys failing and anti-inflammatories, which I might have been on a little bit too long, caused the kidneys to finally pack in quite suddenly, actually. Although I was very lucky where Holly was told immediately, she felt very unwell and was told, right, today, this needs to happen, dialysis. I had a six-month period. So my parents and my youngest sister, Helen, were living in Bristol at the time. I was living in Warrington, where I grew up. And I rang Mum and Dad to tell them the news, and immediately they said, we want to be tested. So a few weeks later, we were down at the Royal Liverpool Hospital. Mum and Dad travelled up from Bristol and they insisted on the tests. And back then, the procedure was that you would dialyse for 6 months before you were considered for the transplant. And my mum quite boldly asked, well, will you be fitter now, today, or in 6 months' time after dialysis? And they said, well, he's fitter now. And she said, well, why are we going to wait for 6 months? So it caused a bit of a stir at the hospital, and the procedures of that kind of ruling has changed now. And nationally, people can actually receive a transplant before dialysis if you're lucky enough to, well, I wouldn't say lucky enough, but if you do have kidney failure and it's really quite early and you're well managed by your kidney, your renal team, you can get on that list quite soon. So lots of people now do manage to get a kidney transplant without dialysing, which is fantastic. The kidney will always go to the person most in need, but there's a criteria to match. They have to be the right blood type, tissue type. All these tests have to be done.
And does that mean there's a high likelihood that someone in your family is going to have exactly the right things that you need?
Correct. Most people who might find the need for an organ transplant, kidney especially, would very likely find one match in the family. To find two is really quite rare. And to think that I've had three, and by all accounts, no one else has ever had three, It just indicates how lucky I am.
I keep trying to not use that word tough, but you know, how hard was the process of going through that each time? Is it harder having done it once to actually sort of go through it again and then think, right, for a third time?
It's a funny one because in my experience, we've got plenty of friends who attend the British Transplant Games who've had multiple transplants. The first one for me at 26 was, there was a lot of bravado. It was like, look at me, I've had a transplant, I can do anything. And then sadly, when it failed after 8 years, dialysed for another year to find my dad was a match. It was, yeah, this is fine, I can do this, this is easy. And then I remember waking up and thinking, yeah, it wasn't that easy, was it? But third time round, I don't know. 16 years older, I'd like to think a little bit more mature. Third time was quite easy. The surgery, the recovery, despite issues and problems and whatnot. But when you've got your family members laying themselves down on an operating table in a theatre, to take that risk just for the chance that it could improve your life, it's quite a thing.
And how are you now?
Brilliant.
Yeah?
Absolutely brilliant. Been going to the games since 2002, playing all sorts of different sports, tennis being the one that I enjoy the most.
Is that your main one, tennis?
It is, yeah. We're very lucky. I'm the tennis coordinator for transplant sport. I do that as a volunteer. Having been looking back now, I'm very lucky. I'm 45 in September and I've been retired 11 years. I was pensioned off by my old employer. So that's a positive, yeah. So I work alongside the Tennis Foundation, who deal with disability tennis. And they support us with our tennis events, our annual British Transplant Games tennis, our World Games team that go off biannually around the world to represent GB, and with our annual rackets tournament. They help us with that and promoting the organ donation. And through getting our members to play tennis, we're promoting tennis. So a big thank you to them.
Okay. So the British Transplant Games, what does it mean to both of you? You know, with this on the doorstep, is it Is it just a really exciting time of the year?
Yeah, it's something I look forward to every year, and it's a great way of promoting the organ donor register and encouraging local people to sign the organ donor register. The aim is to get 10,000 new names on the donor register, and we hope we can achieve that.
How do you do that?
Go online.
What's the website? Is it just a straightforward...
It's organdonation.nhs.uk.
Is that it? Yep. Literally got a dead straightforward process, is it?
2 minutes.
It's a two-minute job. But once you've registered, it's really important to tell your family of your wishes. To become an organ donor through the organ donor register is quite a difficult decision to consider, because you will have to have suffered a very unfortunate demise. Mm. And at that point where, with the work of the experts, they tell your family members, unfortunately, your loved one isn't going to survive, but they are registered as an organ donor. Over 40% of families stop the surgery. And some people afterwards do regret that decision. So if organ donation is something you're looking to consider, as Holly says, get online, register. But probably more importantly, tell your loved ones.
Tell
your closest.
Tell the people who matter around you.
That's right.
Okay. Look, guys, have a fantastic time. You and the... is it close to 1,000, do you say?
Over 900, 1,000.
900 competing. Great buzz in the city. Lots of revenue as well being brought into the city. But a real nice buzz about everything you're doing. So get down and support the guys as well. You'd encourage that, wouldn't you?
Most definitely. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You lifting your trophies. The bowling trophy and the tennis trophy.
Hopefully.
Lifted high by Andy and Holly. Look, guys, thank you very much indeed.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.